We're going to take a few minutes and look at always an important subject to talk about on Wednesday night, and that is the subject of prayer. And certainly, we need to be encouraged on a regular basis concerning our prayer life. I'm not sure what we're going to title our message, but maybe we could say why your prayers aren't answered. Or maybe we could put it a different way, why many times we do not receive answers to prayer. But you can figure out what you want the title to be. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Now, of course, here's the context of all sorts of carnal means that these believers were using to get what they needed or what they wanted in their life. And yet they were never able to obtain what they needed in life. And the Lord gives a very simple answer. Yet you have not, because you ask not. Yet you have not because ye ask not. And certainly that's the number one reason that we don't have prayers answered, is because we don't pray. We don't pray. We don't ask. Think about that. The reasons we don't ask is because we don't have enough time set aside for prayer. We don't have enough time set aside. That's a brilliant answer, isn't it? I mean, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. But that's the truth, isn't it? We don't have time set aside for prayer. And we're reminded about the Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 1. Verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Went into a solitary place and there prayed. Now we have a couple answers here. But first of all, we don't pray. We don't have answers to prayer because we ask not, and we don't ask because we don't set a tough time aside for prayer. And I think we see another answer here. It says he went to a solitary place. That's because there's too many distractions. Too many distractions in life. You know, life itself has a lot of distractions. But, you know, I think the cell phone world complicates it. You know, we were at a restaurant, my wife and I, and I noticed another couple came in. And they sat at a booth. And sat down at the booth, and she's got her cell phone out, whether it's cell phone or whatever, you know, and she's, you know, doing that. And he's sitting across, you know, the booth from her, and he's got his cell phone out. And I said, man, they're not even talking. They're not even communicating. Maybe they learned it from Baptist church, you know, you can't talk during church, so, you know, just, you know, text, you know, during church, you know. But I thought, that's crazy. Why even go out to eat? You know? And that's just one of many distractions one of many distractions. Did you ever think about how much time people waste on cell phones? Or whatever. Just a waste of time. And and as a result, one of the aspects is just another distraction in life that keeps us from praying. You know, we can be so all up about communicating with everybody in the world, and we don't communicate with the most important person in the world. That's the Lord. So the Lord said, in the Bible says, you have not, James says, because you ask not. Because we don't take time, we don't set a time aside, enough time aside to pray. Because we have too many distractions in life. We have too many distractions in life. And probably that's, you could say, we're too busy to pray. We're just too busy to pray. You know, I think it was I think it was Martin Luther said, I have so much to do today, I'm going to have to get up an extra hour early so I can pray longer. Something like that. But you know, we don't always think that way, do we? We think we have so many things to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to cut short the amount of time I pray because I have so many things to do. Well, kind of another aspect of that is sometimes there's too much doing and too little praying. Sometimes there's too much doing and too little praying. Maybe you could put it a different way. Whatever we're doing, we better make sure that we take time to pray. Or otherwise, what we're doing won't amount to much. Whatever we're doing, we better make sure we take time to pray. Or whatever we're doing won't amount to much. You know, the Lord said, without me you can do nothing. And when we get convinced of the fact that we can't do anything without God's intervention, that's when we will begin to start praying. But when we don't think we need, when we figure we can do it, then we aren't going to be doing much praying. I think of this great verse in Luke chapter 5. Talking about doing. Talk about doing. And getting nothing done that really only that God needs to do or whatever. Luke 5 and verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Of course, this is Jesus. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. No fish out there tonight. There's just no fish in this lake today. And we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. They toiled all night and did nothing. And yet, at the word of the Lord, they got so many fish, their net broke. And of course, the key to this is that, you know, God's the key to everything. God's the key to everything. Whatever we do. I mean, this was just fishing, wasn't it? And in their own effort, they got nothing. But at the Lord's direction, they got more than they could handle. You know, some very simple things is that we have not because we ask not. And it would be nice if it was it wasn't so spiritual to come down to the conclusion that the problem is that many times we don't pray is because we don't set time aside in our schedule to pray. That's just reality, isn't it? You know, we can even be so busy doing the Lord's work we don't have time to pray. But we can be so busy in life we don't have time to pray. Our confidence is in our doing and not in the Lord. You know, the Lord can do in 1 second what it could take us a lifetime to do. You know that? The Lord can do in 1 second what it would take a lifetime. Of course, there's some other simple answers. You know, why do we... It kind of a double answer why we don't pray, and maybe also why we don't have our prayers answered. And the Lord said it's because we don't have faith. We go lots of verses, but Matthew 21:22, you know the verse. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And then I think of that verse in Luke chapter 18 where the Lord tells us that we ought to pray, men ought always to pray and not faint. You know what, when you get discouraged, what do we usually do? We don't pray. Isn't that right? When we get discouraged, we don't pray. Guess what? When we get discouraged, that's when we ought to pray. Amen. But that's what the Lord is saying, that we ought not to faint, but we ought always to pray. And I've said this many times, what takes more faith? The lady who prays 2 months and her husband gets saved, and the lady who prays for 18 years and her husband hasn't gotten saved and she keeps praying. I think it takes a lot more faith for the second one, don't you? Faint not. And many times we don't have faith is because we're not spending enough time in the Bible. We're not close enough to God to know Him. We can have our eyes on the world. The world isn't going to, I like that song, is this world a friend of grace? Do you know anybody that's in love with the world that has a lot of faith? Anybody know somebody that's a friend of the world, you know, loves worldly things and has a lot of faith? I don't know anybody that has a lot of faith that is a friend of the world. You know, there's a lot of reasons we don't have faith. If we have sin in our life, we aren't going to have a lot of faith. If a person has sin in their life and they think they have a lot of faith, they think something's mixed up. Well, I think another truth about this whole thing about praying, we've kind of touched on it, is we don't pray because we don't need God. We don't pray because we don't need God. We don't need them. Now, I think that's really brilliant. Where did I learn that from? My own life. That's just the way it is. When if we don't need God, then we don't pray. Now, usually we don't need God because we're not involved in doing something which requires God's help. You know, if you commit yourself to do a spiritual work, and that spiritual work is bigger than you, well, then you're going to need God. But you know, most of us are smart. I call that strategically smart. But it's also sinfully smart. We don't make decisions and we don't make commitments to God. Therefore, we won't need God. So all you have to do is go to church and make sure you don't make any decisions. Then you won't need God. You know, you won't ever have to be stretched beyond what's comfortable. And we can determine that, can't we? Just, well, I'm not making a decision. Say, I know that preacher, he's just trying to manipulate me. This whole idea of, you know, talking to someone every day, that's just plain old manipulation. Well, call it what you will. But I guarantee you, if you make that decision, you'll need God. You'll need God. And you'll be praying. Transform your prayer life. Whatever it is. You know, prayer is a very down-to-earth thing. We don't pray when we don't need God. You know, if we don't want to change, we don't need God, do we? If we're content, you know, just being, you know, the old sinner we are, if we're just content being that old sinner we are, well, we won't need God because we don't want to change. We won't have to pray. We won't have to get serious about a life. We won't need God, and we won't get the joy of seeing prayers answered either, will we? So, and of course, the Bible says in this passage in James, it says, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. In other words, you ask wrongly. You ask wrongly. Now, how can you ask wrongly? Well, what if you're praying that God changes your wife? But actually, God's not going to answer your prayer because the whole thing is all about because God wants to change you. That'd be praying amiss, wouldn't it? God, change my wife. And God up in heaven saying, you're missing the point. I'm not going to change your wife because you're the one that needs to get changed. More than your wife needs to get changed. You know, sometimes we tell God how he's supposed to do it. You know what I mean? We tell God, God, this is what you are supposed to do. Well, that's what Paul did, didn't he? He said, God, take away this thorn in the flesh. God says, you're missing the point. I put this thorn in the flesh because I want to change you through this thorn in the flesh. I don't want to take it away. I want it there. And they keep praying, take it away. God says, no, I don't want to take it away. I want it there. I put it there. Why are you praying it be taken away? Well, we can pray that way, can't we? Because we're praying wrong. Really, that's kind of a, we can pray in a selfish way. And God, you know, you look at the whole passage of scripture here, it says, you're consuming it upon your lust. You're praying selfishly. God doesn't want us to pray selfish prayers. He wants us to pray for His glory, something that would glorify Him. And you know, maybe an easy life wouldn't bring very much glory to God. Maybe $1 million wouldn't bring much glory to God. I remember being in seminary, working full time, going to seminary full time, having a family, and us guys, married guys, would sit in seminary lounge, and we said, you know, man, if we went across town to the Southern Baptist Seminary, Golden Gate Seminary, they pay your whole way. They pay your housing, they pay your tuition, they pay your books, and they give you money besides. That's what the big denominations do. I don't think we asked God that He would do that for us. But we were kind of wishing it was that way. But as I look back, that would have been the worst thing ever happened in my life. We don't always know what's good for us, but God does, amen? God knows what's good for us. And sometimes we ask, and we have selfish prayers. Don't blame God when He doesn't answer selfish prayers. Praise the Lord that He doesn't. Amen. And of course, the other great truth that's parallel to that is why we don't have answered prayer. And even kind of fits into why we don't pray is because when we pray, all prayers originate with the Holy Spirit. Jude, verse 20 says, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we need to be in fellowship with God. And we can't be in fellowship with God if we're not in His Word. You realize that? You cannot be in fellowship with God if you're not in His Word. Abide in me, and I in you. If my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You see, real Christianity is completely different than religion. In real Christianity, you have a relationship with God. And in that relationship with God centers in His Word. We meet Him in His Word. His truth fills our soul and strengthens us in His Word. My words, they are spirit and they are life. We don't have, you know, you talk to people and so many times they say, I've talked to people who claim to be Christian and they're away from God and they say, oh, I talk to God every day. I talk to God every day. And I say, well, you're reading your Bible? No, but I talk to God every day. Well, they just got a one-way conversation, don't they? They never let God talk to them. That isn't the Christian life. The Christian life is a relationship. And we meet God in His Word. We fellowship with God in His Word. Our soul is strengthened in His Word. This isn't an academic thing. This is a spiritual thing. That's why Jesus, if my words abide in you, You abide in me, my words abide in you. You will, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Why? Because that's how the Holy Spirit works. He tells us what to pray for. He lays on our heart what to pray for. He gives us faith. He leads us. It's great in the Old Testament how Israel, at the Lord's coming, he says he gives them the spirit of prayer and supplications. That's a great picture. Gives the people of Israel the spirit of prayer and supplications. You know, you ever read about revival? I love to read about revival. I love reading about revival in Wales. In history, it's called the land of revival. And America was the land of revival from all the way from 1800 to 1860-some. There's almost continuous revival in some part of America. That's why America became what it is. Because there was continuous revival that changed the very fiber of America from 1800 to 1858. And we haven't had real revival since 1858, 1860s. There's a little bit with Moody, et cetera, in the 1880s. America's been on a downfall for over 130 years. But you know anything about revival? In revival, it always comes with a spirit of supplication and prayer. And you read about the Welsh revival, the coal miners would be down in the coal mines and they'd be praying. If they weren't singing, they were praying. If they weren't talking about the Lord, they were praying or singing. And they said at nighttime, if you went out of your house at night, almost at any time of the night, you'd hear people walking down the streets and they'd be singing or praying. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And of course, you know, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Amen. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. That means, Daddy, I love to talk to you, God. I love to talk to you. You're my Heavenly Father. I love to talk to you. So, some thoughts for us tonight. You know, we believe in prayer and we have prayer groups. But why do we pray? I think there's a reason we pray. You know why? Because we want God to answer prayer. Amen? Are you just going down a list? Okay. You know? Okay. Let's ask yourself the question. Were you really expecting God to answer that? Did you pray with the purpose that, hey, you know why we're praying here? We're praying so God answers prayer. Because God does answer prayer. Let me ask you a simple question. This is very profound, but it's simple. Do you ever pray? And if you stopped after you prayed, you'd have to say, I prayed, but I wasn't really expecting God to answer that prayer. Have you ever been in a prayer group in which the spirit of prayer was really there? And you said, you know what? I sense God's going to answer that prayer. Right? That's real praying, isn't it? That's real praying. Because praying is about God answering. Because God does answer prayer. And think about young person. if you're saved and you're 5 years old, God can answer your prayers. Amen? You read anywhere in the Bible that it says you have to be 40 years old for God to answer your prayers? Doesn't say that, does it? Now, we need to be as careful as a 5-year-old about how we pray and what we pray, because we need to be directed by the Holy Spirit. We aren't just rambling off a bunch of words. But God can answer the prayer of 5 years old, 5-year-olds. That's normal. That's normal. And when, and if we really believe that God answered prayer, I think all of us would pray a whole lot more. Don't you think so? It's that simple, isn't it? You have not because you ask not. May God use that word in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that we can reflect on one of the most important parts of the Christian life. And Lord, we admit that we neglect that very thing that is so unbelievably miraculous. That you are a God who answers prayer. Now we have the confidence that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. The miraculous privilege, Lord, that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within our life. And Jesus is our intercessor to the Father. We have direct access to you. And yet we so often neglect this unbelievable resource and privilege that we have. Help us to take inventory, Lord, tonight. Help us to take inventory. Help us to, Lord, not compare ourselves to modern day Christianity, but help us to compare ourselves to the Word of God. What would be normal? Lord, I thank you that you are able to do far above all that we could ever ask or even think. And so might we be reminded of that tonight. And Lord, help us personally, even now, to make some specific decisions about taking time in our schedule, putting time in our schedule to pray, determining that whatever we do, that we make sure that we pray and seek your power and your blessing in everything that we do. But especially the things that we do for you. Teaching a class, witnessing, singing in the choir, playing the piano special, working in the sound booth, ushering, whatever it is. Help us to make sure that we don't do it in our effort, but in your power, in your strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.